Standing up for something. Standing up for something. I'm going to ask you a rhetorical question that I want you to think about. Have you ever stood up for something? Have you ever stood up for something? I mean, something that could cost you your job or your family or your freedom, or how about just your friends? Have you ever stood up for something? Have you ever had such a passion about something that you had holy boldness and didn't care about the consequences, and you either spoke it out or carried out the task? Have you ever stood up for something? You see, the kids in the movie are facing something that Daniel faced. These kids have just found out that they are part of a prophecy that will eventually lead them into battle, fighting against evil. They are standing on the cusp, needing to make a decision. Should they stay and fight, or should they go home? You see, all of us on a daily basis make decisions like this. And they cover the gamut of insignificant to monumental in the grand scheme of things. But they are all decisions to stand up or to cave in. To stand up or to cave in. In the book, No More Christian Nice Guy, When Being Nice Instead of Good Hurts Men, Women, and Children, it's by Paul Coughlin. I wish at some point every adult Sunday school class in this church would go through this study. It is a powerful, powerful book. This book as well, Why Men Hate Going to Church. Although I don't necessarily agree with everything that they say, these books explain the deep-seated issues I've had and many men have had with the church. They put words into men's feelings. You know how men don't express their feelings very well, ladies? Well, these books help put words with those feelings, all right? You see, many believe this lack of standing for something is why men since the 1700s, in a large part, have been vacating our churches or been vacant in our churches. Many men have been taught that to be a good Christian, as well as a good Christian husband, is to cave in. And most men would rather injure themselves than cave in. And guess what? We do injure ourselves by being a workaholic or by being an alcoholic or all the other different abuses. And speaking of abuse, by abusing our wives and our children many times. By being passive-aggressive in our relationships. You know, it's amazing in my long history, as far as it feels sometimes like long, other times it seems really short, being a pastor. Couples come in to talk, and at some point in the conversation, the wife says, "Oh, it is amazing how passive-aggressive he is." But you know what is bad about it? When we do these things, we create a cycle, or we continue a cycle. Our daughters marry men like us, or our sons become men like us. Remember last week? Our kids become who we are, not what we say. Our kids become who we are, not what we say. So, men and women, we have got to start standing up for something. Do we have the guts to stand up and take notice? Do we have the guts to put our feet down and say, "I'm not going to move anymore. I am not going to cave in. I am going to stand up for Jesus." Do we have the courage to stand up for Jesus and what Jesus calls us to do? Do we? You see, Daniel had a decision to make that was very similar. And to understand, we have to go back to the beginning of chapter 6, if you want to follow along this morning in Daniel chapter 6. Just to kind of introduce you to this, King Darius had set over the Persian kingdom 120, they call it satraps, S-A-T-R-A-P-S, satraps, and three presidents. And Daniel was one of the presidents. In verse 3, Daniel distinguished himself over the 122 others to the point that the king was going to appoint him over the whole kingdom. Now tell me, what do you think this did to the other 120 satraps and two presidents?